So we're here at the Connacht Tribune Printworks during the Galway International Arts Festival of 2018. Here with visual artist David Mack, who is talking about his work, his processes, and his current exhibition, Rock and Roll. David, as we're here, you're actually creating one of your very well-known collage prints and taking a quick break from that to talk about what's already installed, which has broken the floor of the gallery here to begin with.
Yeah, we've been able to dig a big hole, not a small thing, quite a big hole in the gallery. That allows me to, gives me an entry point for those 25 tons of newspapers to kind of burst out of that into a variety of kind of sinewy forms, I guess, carrying off a yacht, a car, and a caravan in the process.
Yeah. Right now in front of us we have, I think what you call it, a decommissioned yacht, or at least a boat of some description, the Sea Breeze, which is curiously known to a lot of people in Galway as they've entered and it's commented they recognise the boat. We have a wreck of a caravan that's on a pile of rubble in another corner. And could you describe the car? Is it a Corvette?
Well, it's a Ford Capri.
Yeah.
Everybody's wildly excited about that we've actually got a Ford Capri in sculpture.
Yeah. And where are you sourcing these from?
Well, I mean, we source the stuff locally. Obviously, the boat does come from just about sort of 200 yards away from where we are now. But it's quite funny to hear people sort of coming in to see the boat and say, oh yeah, I had a drink with the guy, I can't remember his name, but they say I had a drink with Pete, I had a cup of tea with him last week on that boat, you know? So it's been a real thing, you know. So I mean, I can go back in the water and behave like a proper boat next week, so when we're finished the show, you know. The car belongs to one of the organisers of the festival, and we bought the caravan. We were just originally just going to buy the various pieces so that I could get to do whatever I want with them then, you know.
The rubble that's under the caravan, is that what came out of the hole in the ground, by any chance?
That's pretty much what came out of the hole, yeah. I mean, we had it much closer to the big piece of the caravan, but it blocked a very, very good view of the whole thing. So I moved it into the corner, and we crammed it full of stuff. And I've built newspapers into that, too. We built very, very careful, very kind of sexy forms into the underneath the boat and around the car, coming out of the hole and so on, you know. And I've continued that with the caravan, but just moved it a little bit further away, you know.
Okay. I mean, working with this mass of scale of objects and talking about the newspapers that are here, it's not just boxes, it's tons and then hundreds of tons of newspapers.
This is it's 25 tons. Yeah. This is a lot of newspapers. It's hundreds of thousands of newspapers.
Yeah. The flow of them, they have these beautiful curves and angles and lines just support the objects themselves. They're in the boats, they're in the caravans, they're in the cars. Where do you draw the distinction of being the medium?
Well, I mean, one thing feeds the other. They're there for a reason, you know.
Yeah.
And when you travel from the boat to the hole, your eyes will have a variety of forms before you get there. I guess the objects tell me what shapes to make, you know. Mm. Yeah, and you find that you're not actually in charge of the thing at all. It is telling you what to do, where to go. The only thing I can kind of compare it to is like if you were a wasp and you were actually building a nest, and all those other guys are building a nest with you, or an ant building a hill or something. There's something like that going on where you become this kind of beast that is making something, you know. It's quite an odd thing, you know, but you know, that's
before
how it works.
Before you came to Galway for this installation, you obviously didn't know the boats or caravans that you'd be working with. Change?
No, we did actually, because we were doing a bit of research before that, and we were really trying to kind of to find something. But it wouldn't have mattered, because you have to get the objects first anyway, you know, and they will kind of dictate a lot of things, and you will follow things from that point on. So, you know, if I'd wanted a Rolls Royce, but I got a Ford Capri, it's not going to sort of stump me. It's not going to, the whole thing screwed. Yeah, we'll have to do something else, you know, it doesn't work like that.
See, is there something you could trace back in your training or your college or education that put you on this trajectory of your, was there someone you looked up to? Was there a particular other artist or forms that you looked at and say, these are the objects I want to work with, out of the ordinary?
Well, I mean, all of those things, you know, like all of the above there, but I mean, there's a particular kind of situation where, I mean, I grew up on a beach, you know, and a beach that had big objects on it, concrete blocks that they planted there in case of a German invasion, you know, donkeys years ago. And if you look at those blocks, now they shift in the sands, and you look at the sand shifts around them, it makes the most incredible set of forms, and always changing, never the same twice, you know. And actually, I've looked at that and more or less kind of copied that, this look at the thing in a way, you know. That comes directly from there, you know.
So in some ways there's a lot about mobility coming to a beginning or an abrupt end as well. We see boats out of the water, there's caravans upended on piles of rubble. The Ford Capri is up on off its hind kind of axle, so it's everything is tilted, its axis is
It's got something
shifted.
To do with the way things come at us as people live now.
Yeah.
It's something to do with the kind of barrage of stuff you get coming at you on a daily basis. Non-stop, day in, day out, week in, month in. It was like that before, but now it's even worse. This kind of communications age where we have to kind of sift through all this stuff that comes at us. There's something that I'm talking about there. You know, I'm like everybody else, I'm a person trying to wade my way through that stuff too, you know. So, you know, I can link it to the beach in terms of what something looks like, and a motion and a movement, and I want that. And I especially want a performance. I can't build this in London and transport it over. I've got to come here and do it here. That's a big part of the thing. And normally I would do that in front of an audience as well. This time we were a couple of weeks early, before the festival had even started. So we were just building in like a normal gallery, if you like. You know? But I mean, all those things play a factor in the thing. You know, it's not just one thing.
I mean, coming to Galway to do this, you're at the edge of Europe. The next point after you say you grew up on a beach, you're here on the edge of the Atlantic, and we see again these elements of mobility. And I think, am I right in thinking you would have studied in the late 70s? You know, there was a global oil crisis in those times. Where
there was I worked in art college from 74, I guess, till 82.
So these types of migrations, even locally trying to navigate around in cars like a Ford Capri in the 70s, you couldn't do it.
I'm not so sure that that's true, actually. I don't get what all the fuss is about migration, people moving around, because we've always bloody done it. We've done it for hundreds of years, in our hundreds of thousands and millions, and people just got on with the damn thing. Now it's a big, you know, thing to kind of get over. So, I mean, a lot of these pieces, these objects, are about that very thing, about that kind of movement of people. You know, shifts, you know, seismic shifts in your life that take you away from the Ukraine to live in New York, or whatever, from Ireland to, all that kind of stuff. We're all part of that same thing. Now we talk about it as if it's this new thing that's reached some sort of terrible peak, but it must have been way worse before. We managed it, no bother then, with all the paperwork. Now we've got the EU, you know, shitting itself. Yeah. And this Brexit nonsense is doing a lot of people in for no great reason, as far as I can tell, you know. So, I mean, whether it likes it or not, it's also about that. You know, so that migration is a huge part of the world. My father was a refugee from Poland, you know. And things happen to you in your life, whoever you are, whatever nationality you are, whatever religion you are. You move because you're being persecuted. You move because, you know, there's a war. You move because there's a job. You move, you know, there's a whole bunch of them. You move because a crop fails. You move, you know. And we're behaving now as if this is a new thing. It's not. It's as normal, as usual.
Is it perhaps as a new medium around the migration? Is that simply we can see it voyeuristically? It's in the media.
Well, you know what it is? This is part of the kind of the barrage that we're under, because now, whether you like it or not, you, whoever you are going to tell me about the damn thing.
Yeah.
You know, in your paper, on your radio program, in your blog, in your. There's a lot of fucking things I don't need to know. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. You know, but I'm still going to get them because you insist that that's an important thing. Not necessarily. I mean, hell, when we were moving from villages in the 17th century, nobody knew a damn thing about it because nobody could tell them that. You know? No, nobody was. They were seeing the newspapers that Mr. So-and-so's moved from number 54. Yeah, no. You didn't know that because there wasn't anybody reporting it. There wasn't a system. There wasn't an earth, you know, with probably thousands, for all I know, satellites orbiting it in the name of communication, whereas in fact, it's not really about communication at all. There's a sort of strange nagging consequence of this thing, and then something that comes from that too, that has a terribly negative effect. So we've got to listen to a wanker like Donald Trump, bleating on about not very much in a very, very bad way. He caused that fence in every single direction you care to mention, while we wait for some, you know, somebody to do something about it.
But coming to a former Printworks, if you know, you talk one of the central elements is communication. This barrage today, what's supporting these objects, the boats and everything else, are old. Our current issues of the Connacht Tribune.
This is haunted, this building, the Connacht Tribune. There's ink still dripping out of the pipes here that they used to print the newspapers with, you know? It's still there. This building still has blood in its veins from all that stuff. Now that's spooky as all hell. Poignant, poetic, philosophical, you know, you name it. These guys are still reporting. They've still got something to say. You know, and maybe nothing changes. Maybe it's the same sort of the same stuff that you're kind of wading your way through. You know, but the interesting thing for me is when you come to a thing like Galway, the festival, you do this, you talk all the damn. I mean, I've talked to hind legs of several donkeys since I've been here, kind of thing. And that's what we seem to be losing generally. You know, a face to face. I'll talk to you. I'm not going to blog it. I'm not going to tweet it. I'm going to say it directly to you, and that takes away that first-hand experience. That's the worst thing about that barrage, you know, about that kind of a attack almost that you're under, you know. And we need to try and change that somehow. Me trying to talk about it is another thing. I'm trying to do that. It's not just I don't want something that I do to have one message. It needs to have several messages. So, you know.
Another element of your work on the walls here, we see across in the gallery wall about 20, 30...
Oh, you want to go across?
We can walk across. There are a number of collages. They're about maybe 6-inch by 4-inch in size.
Postcard size.
These are a byproduct of your newspaper.
Well, I mean, I've been using paper for, decades to make things. And I started making these about 30 years ago. But I've recently hit a vein of stuff, of ideas with them. It's just such a rich pick, and I can't stop making the bloody things. So you're taking a comic and kind of recycling it. And like a war comic. A lot of these things come from a war comic. And then you've got a yacht sort of going off into the kind of romantic distance, because the drawing of that in the original thing is beautiful and enables me to kind of change what's going on. You also get some really sort of funny things, or at least I think they're funny. You know, when you're sleeping in a dormitory of folk and they're all sort of snoring away, and you're the one word that you can come up with is shit. There's shit fucking bugger. There's somebody walked in here and brought the three of them together, you know. Where's the one that I like the best? This is the nurse. There's a nurse here. Have you seen that? Where is that guy's hand? You know. So I find that really kind of, and if I look at those words that existed in the comic, so I'm taking the three things that existed already, putting them together and creating something else. Now I've got a series called Anything to Oblige out of that, you know?
So yeah, there's some phrases are reused between some of the collages.
Yeah, it's gone off like a bomb or something that I'm really quite keen on. Because of the war comics, there's a hell of a lot of explosions in them.
Okay.
To me this is like the second homeowner's nightmare. Shoot, I left the gas in, or the property agent's sort of nightmare, or something like that. I was just about to sell it, and damn, all that kind of stuff. But you can even explore kind of gender things, where you've got girls in dormitory dreaming. They're all dreaming about Irish boys in this case, because we're in Galway. I can take that same image and make them all dream about Irish girls. I can take that same image and make them dream about one boy or one girl. You can play around with those kind of things. These are things that are, happening to shitloads in other series, where you're getting this kind of, I'm taking the ahs and uhs and ayes and all those, collecting them together as if they're leaves in the autumn or something like that, you know?
Yeah, these are fascinating. And one word I think you've mentioned quite a bit today is barrage, as well as communication. These are speech bubbles with like these sound effects in them. And I know there's one in a field, in a postcard down there, where a plough is ploughing them out of the ground and a bulldozer is pushing them away. But again, it's fighting the barrage of communication.
Or at least it's commenting on that. Some of them are just, some of them become cartoons by themselves. But that's called serial killer. I mean, you're just having a kind of a bit of fun with that one.
There's a guy lying under a pile of cereal boxes, pouring on top of it.
Pouring on top of him. Yeah. They work as a, I quite like these ones, where they've got the women fighting, Of course, and all the women in my studio say, "No, you can't do that. You can't do that." You know, but why the hell not? Yeah. I don't get it. Yeah. And you're still using that same sort of. That's called uppercut. So I've got uppercut, left cross, right jab. The other two are sold. So. Yeah.
And the comic books you use, they are authentic of that time frame, or are they modern reproductions?
Well, I mean, they're things that I've collected for years.
Yeah.
But they don't seem to have a kind of time thing to them at all. I think the drawings are so good that it just brings them into a contemporary place, you know. So. But I mean, I'll just look at an image that would be like gold, a guy lying back in a hammock dreaming. And what's he dreaming about? Is he dreaming about boys? Is he dreaming about girls? Is he dreaming about sausages? You know, it could be, they'll be able to sort of make a series of things out of that, you know. But I must admit, I do quite like the kind of straightforward, you're making a seascape or a landscape or something like that. I mean, they started off with those pieces. They were quite elaborate. They're slightly bigger than the postcard thing. Maybe four times the size.
They're almost like woodblock prints from
they
a distance.
Kind of like
Yeah.
And these are all made, they're made up of about 25, 30 different pieces of collage that I've stripped out of those comics and sort of woven together, you know. So.
Again, is it going back to growing up on the beach? We're drawn to the sea as a viewpoint for a lot of these.
Well, that beach had a huge effect
on
me.
Yeah, I
can't escape it. You know, and I don't want it either.
Yeah.
But it's not. I mean, I suffer from sort of a over inspiration, if you like. You know, and there's just. I mean, these things I can't keep up with.
Yeah.
These little collages. I mean, I can see there are hundreds of ideas. So I started off having shows of 10. Now I'm having shows of 50 and 100. And people are asking, can we have some more? And I've tried to make them a reasonable price so that people can afford to buy them. So because I sell things for big prices, not everybody can sort of get their mitts on that, you know. So, so they open up another avenue of audience, if you like, you know. So,
and a lot easier to install than the ships and the boats.
They are that. you can come back to this space and have them laid out like that. They're only about 2 inches apart, going all the way around the galley.
It's like a film strip.
Yeah, it is.
Running along.
Yeah. It works like a cartoon.
Yeah,
I guess.
A cartoon, yeah. Going back to 2012, that was your first visit, or first at least installation in Galway, is that right? That was Precious Light.
Precious Light.
Yeah,
that was a huge endeavour. That was like 5 years worth of graft.
Yeah.
So I squeezed into two to a comedy that I showed. Yeah. And that was based around the King James Bible.
Yeah.
And actually, it was a toss up between me doing the King James Bible or the Kama Sutra.
Okay.
I didn't do it because I was religious, I did it because of the kind of. Extravagance and the drama of the stories and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I think I remember reading a quote from you before. It had pestilence, it had war, conflict, everything an artist needs.
Yeah,
inspiration.
Exactly,
it's like pestilence, war, conflict. This could be, in terms of a historical manuscript, it could be Shakespeare's First Folio, it could be the King James Bible, and
it was the King James Bible.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, that was a huge endeavour. God, it nearly did me in that show.
Yeah.
Financially and all sorts of other ways as well.
I mean, I think that was the landmark image of the Arts Festival that year was the crucifixion figures of wire frames. Can you talk about
that? They were made with coat hangers.
Yeah.
I've been making a lot of sculpture with coat hangers.
Yeah.
And I'd made a kind of Golgothic scene, a scene of Golgotha with three main figures of that, and a single crucified Christ as well. And I was consistently... warned not to make it by various galleries that I was working with, and I thought the more they said no, don't do that, the more I was an attractive thing to me to actually produce. And of course, if you're going to work about the King James Bible, you have to include something like that. So they were very dramatic, very violent looking pieces. I sold one of them, that crucified piece now hangs in Istanbul someplace. You know, I can't imagine that's a Christian thing. Going on.
But I think the reaction it received in Galway that year was something else in terms of what the visual arts does in a festival. I think over 30,000 people came into the gallery space, and that is what you'd not call a traditional gallery space.
No.
Which again, where we are today, we're in the print works. I mean, is that something you think your art gets circumvented?
Well, I love spaces that are not art spaces.
Yeah.
Art spaces can kill all those things. Yeah. I mean, so really, you have to be very, very wary of contemporary art when you're a contemporary artist and working within that kind of genre and that kind of esteem of all that sort of stuff, because it just sort of it swallows itself whole. believes in it, but it leaves no space for any other bugger to come along and actually kind of take part or kind of, you know, there's something wrong with that. So when you've got white cubes being built all over the damn place and people presenting their work, you know, so sensitively and carefully in a kind of a church.
It's too reverential.
It is. I mean, here we have a space that used to be something else and it has history. It works beautifully as a gallery anyway, you know, and you can deal with it. I don't need it to be a white cube. Yeah, I don't need that. I can like the history. And the thing is, your work has got to stand up in here as well. You know, it's not sort of so presented that they brought it in a satin cushion and sort of laid it in front of you. You know, it's a bit like that in the contemporary art world. I don't like that.
Perhaps lastly, just as we are talking here for an archive of the Galway Arts Festival and an oral history, do you think about the legacies of your work in terms of their ephemerality? Do you see a lifespan for some of them, or is there deliberate destruction of some of them afterwards? I know you had some matchstick pieces before and you deliberately set them alight afterwards.
Yeah, but they weren't destroyed, those things. It was a change in their kind of metabolism, if you like. Yeah. You know, we were still left with a solid three-dimensional thing. But I think that the things that you leave behind people will remember, whether they're made of solid gold, bronze, brick, or shit. If they're good, and if they're exciting ideas, and if they invade you, if you kind of buy into those things, you'll remember that stuff. You'll take it away with you. You'll talk about it. You'll remember it, and that's the thing that makes it permanent. That's what makes something permanent, not because it's still standing there. You can drive around the same damn thing around a bit for the next 500 years. Nobody will take a blind bit of fucking notice of the thing. You know, there's a difference between. There's often a kind of. To what I do, I don't consider it ephemeral at all. I consider it permanent, you know, and it's as permanent as you can get to me, you know, even though this is going to disappear in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. What I leave, hopefully, you know, it won't be for everybody, but for some people, maybe there'll be a permanent, there'll be a legacy there. You have to buy it, you have to get into the thing, you have to see it, you have to know it, you know, you have to let yourself go in order to do that, you know, but it won't be because it's a permanent work of art, permanently cited, using those phrases. You know, it'll be something else, you know.
Dave and Mark, thanks again for talking to us and for bringing your art to Galway to the festival this year.
Thank you. Good to be back.